Everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me. I am your host, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez, and sitting across from me on the other mic, as he does most weeks, is my co-host, Andrew.
Or the Cosmic Dreamer, always wearing the spacesuit.
He goes by the Cosmic Dreamer now, and he is wearing a spacesuit, so I call him Andrew. I refuse to call him the Cosmic Dreamer, but welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. This week's show is going to be an Andrew special. This is a show he's been wanting to talk about, and I figured, what the heck? I'm the one that usually decides what we talk about, but this week I said, Andrew, it's all on you. It'll be a space-related show. Surprise.
Not a surprise.
Yeah, I think they caught the sarcasm there. Now, the topic we're going to talk about was a topic back in 2011, 12, a little bit of 13.
2016.
2011, 12, 13. That was all the rage. It was a huge topic. You couldn't go anywhere without somebody talking about it. Well, then it fell off the face of the earth. And it got rejuvenated in 2016 with a confirmation. So we're going to find out the topic of this week's show in just a second. But as I do with every show, I always like to start the beginning of the current show with a recap of last week's show. Now, it is becoming a very good trend that I continually tell you how good last week's show did. Now, last week's show, I'm happy to say, it's shattered records. Last week's show has become the number one listened show since the Paranormal Patriot has returned. That's 9 episodes in. In other words, I'm taking episodes that are 7-8 weeks old, and last week's show had more listens than that. Now, you could look at it one of two ways. You could look at it as those last 8 shows sucked, didn't have many listens. Or you could look at it as that was a very popular show. People seemed to really enjoy the show. They listened to it in droves. I think that's what's going on, because the last 8 episodes were nothing to shake a stick at. We actually have a pretty good base of listeners, and it keeps growing every week. So thank you.
Don't forget to share the video.
Exactly. You got to share the show. And it literally, guys, all it does is it takes one button push. Doesn't matter if you go on Spotify, Podbean, wherever you go, there's a share button there, a share link. Click it. Hit the button and just share it. That's all you have to do. So, last week's show, it got a lot of response. Most people, I'll be honest, did not think that the email or the voicemails were anything of any validity. Most people thought it was a hoax. There were some of you that believe that something is going to happen.
I guess including me.
And that includes Andrew. I guess we'll find out on the 18th of April. So, the question last week, and this one surprised me. This is going to be a regular weekly occurrence. I'm going to poll question everybody. I put it on Facebook, I put it on Minds, and then I had a bunch of people just send me their answers via voice or via email. The question was, if you could go colonize another planet or another moon, knowing that you could not return home, would you? Andrew, we know the answer to that. He's over here jumping around like a hot potato. I know the answer to that one. I figured he'd be one of the few who said yes. I was severely mistaken. 87 people contacted me and gave me their results. 33% of you who responded said, yes, I would go colonize another planet or another moon.
Those 33 people, they're coming with me.
They can come with you. Knowing that once they leave, they cannot come back. Andy from Texas, who constantly is in contact with the show, one of my best listeners out there, during the early portions of the voting, he made a comment on Facebook saying, I can't believe 18% of the people responding are saying yes. I kind of concurred with that statement. I thought it'd be another one, would you want to live forever? And only one person, the guy sitting across from across from me in the spacesuit, said he would. It doubled. By the end of the voting, that 18% just about doubled to 33%. All that tells me is we love to explore.
Yes, we do.
Exploring is in the human DNA. It's what we do. So thank you for all the votes. Again, this is going to be a weekly occurrence. This at the end of the show, I'll give you this week's question. You can find it on Minds, on Facebook. You can email me your answer at ghostseeker4@charter.net. However you want to do it, just do it. I want to have over 100 people respond to this week's question. But what are we going to talk about? Well, that's where we come in now. Again, this is Andrew's choice. So if you don't like this show, let Andrew know. Around 2011, 2012, 13, a little bit of 14, the planet Nibiru, or Planet X, was all the rage. So after that, the novelty kind of wore off. You didn't really hear about it. You had people taking photos, showing a picture of the sun, and in that photo was a little object by the sun that they said, oh my God, look at this planet Nibiru. Oh my gosh, you caught a sun reflection. Good job. But something happened in 2016. When was that?
It was January 20th.
January 20th, 2016. What happened January 20th, 2016?
Scientists discovered that there were unusual gravitational pulls in the Kuiper Belt, also known as the Kuiper Cliff, the end of the Kuiper Belt.
Okay, so the Kuiper Belt is
The outer region of the asteroid belt.
The asteroid belt is where
it divides the rocky and the gas giants.
So it's between Mars and Jupiter, or Mars and Earth?
Yes. Yes. Space for dummies. Yes.
Okay, I guess I'm a dummy because is it between Mars and Earth or Mars and Jupiter?
Mars and Jupiter, also known as the rocky planets and the gas giants.
Okay, so you're telling me every planet beyond this Kuiper Belt is a gas planet?
No.
Well, then you're wrong. What you're saying is wrong. You said it just divides the rocky and the gas giants.
Yeah, the asteroid belt does.
Okay, so anything after the gas giant, or anything after the Kuiper...
The Kuiper Belt divides the gas giant in front of in all space.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
No, you're not. I just asked you. Pardon me, but this is going to get ugly. I just asked you, does the asteroid belt, after the asteroid belt, so you've got Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars...
Duh.
Asteroid belt.
Duh.
Are there any rocky planets after that?
No.
You just said there were.
Shoot.
So we just proved him wrong. Goes your... We're not editing this. Keep going. No, we're not.
Yeah, we're editing this.
Anyway, so they found a gravitational pull in the Kuiper Belt, right?
Yes.
And what do they attribute this gravitational pull to?
Well, there's two options. It could be either a planet or a giant asteroid. But an asteroid doesn't seem that big enough to...
How big is this gravitational pull?
Pretty large, so...
Okay, so you would think if it was pretty large, they'd be able to see this asteroid?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Okay, so if you can...
To be honest, I don't know if NASA's actually telling them. I wonder if they actually know there's a planet 9. They don't want to tell us.
Well, that kind of jumps ahead to what we're going to talk about in a little bit, but there's now proof that there is a giant planet lurking out there.
See?
We're going to get into that in a little bit.
Oh.
So, While science, NASA, and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory may have found this elusive giant, Andrew and I are going to discuss, is it what our planet's ancient civilizations said it to be? Andrew and I will discuss whether Nibiru is a fact, if it's a reality, if it's something completely different.
If it's just a theory that somebody made up.
Yeah, the conspiracy theorists. Are they out there being fearmongers, telling everybody this planet's going to come into contact with Earth and destroy us all? What is it? Now, we don't have a definitive answer, but what we do have are some facts and some pretty interesting theories, some of which I don't think any of you have heard of. So sit back,
relax,
open your mind, because Andrew and I will be right back, and we're going to discuss Nibiru.
You are listening to The Cosmic Dreamer and The Paranormal Patriot. We will be right back.
Join me on September 21st and 22nd, 2018, for an out-of-this-world event. The Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the day listening and learning from all of the special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFOs, sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and more. Be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique gifts, creative works, psychic readings, and much more to list here. All of this will be taking place at the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Overlooking the largest inland lake in Michigan, not only can you enjoy the UFO convention, but you can enjoy nature. This resort is full of windows, including a walkout balcony. This will be an educational and refreshing event. Lecturers include John Tenney, Andrea Perrin, Bill Konkoleski, Erica Luke, Steve Ward, and Nick Redford. For more information on the resort, go to www.lakesideresortmichigan.com. Again, September 21st and 22nd, 2018, join me and be at the Michigan UFO Contact.
I used to worry about the shadows. I hated knowing there was something there that I couldn't see. I thought the monsters out my window. Yeah, they were waiting for me. They were waiting for me. But now my fears have started changing. Now I'm worried about all the things to come. Yeah, mostly I've been scared of failing. I feel the weight of the world is pushing down on me. Cause I could write every song and never say a thing. I could have what I want but still know what I need. I could hide all my problems inside a melody.
I don't know how many times we've said this, but where do you find this awesome music, Dad?
Hey, I find this awesome music on Jamendo.com. If you're looking for great music from up-and-coming artists, free of charge, Jamendo.com. Jamendo.com.
The good teacher once taught to love others as you love yourself. But I'm just wondering, what about those who struggle to love themselves?
Like, hey, so I'm feeling pretty good today. And life taught me, don't trust that good Tuesday. And if it don't, then at least I know that love's the reason we are broken. But hey, man, I'm feeling pretty good today. Real life, not everyone got parents to love them, not.
Alrighty, we are back on the Paranormal Patriot. Has anybody noticed on the first part of this show how the Cosmic Dreamer is trying to take over the show?
No, it ain't gonna happen. No,
I'll give him his 5 minutes of fame here by talking about Nibiru, but that's about as far as it goes. So if you want,
you said this was an Andrew special, though.
It is an Andrew special. It doesn't
five
mean you
minutes
take
is an
over
Andrew
my
special?
Show. You're lucky you're getting your 5 minutes.
Well,
all right,
you get 5 seconds.
You're lucky you get 5 seconds. You're lucky I'm a good dad. Anyway, Nibiru. The name Nibiru. Do you know where it originated from?
Probably, you know, Star Wars.
No, it's not Star Wars. It originated from the ancient Sumerians. Now, they are an ancient race or ancient civilization that inhabited Mesopotamia.
I thought of Nabu, so that's why.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on. Mesopotamia is modern-day Iraq. Now, according to Zechariah Sitchin, who is an ancient astronaut guru, according to the Sumerians, it was the 12th planet. Now, Nibiru is also called Marduk. Now, it has an extreme clockwise elliptical orbit. Do you know what elliptical is there, genius?
Yes.
What is elliptical? Tell our audience.
It's spiral. I'm just kidding. It's horizontal.
It's 0 for 2?
I'm just kidding.
What is it? You have no idea. It is like an oval.
I know.
Well, you blew it twice, so I'll cover you. It's a very oval-like orbit where Earth, Mars,
Saturn,
whatever, they all have a circular orbit. Nibiru has a very extreme oval orbit. Now, according to several ancient texts from Mesopotamia, there is strong evidence that supports theories that Nibiru, it has an orbital period of about 3,600 years. Now, that number 3,600 was represented by the Sumerians as a large circle. How many degrees are in a circle?
360.
I don't know.
I know my math.
It may have something to do with the Nibiru cycle. It may be a coincidence, but you have Nibiru with a 3,600-year orbit, elliptical. A circle has 360 degrees.
The Hubble can look into our past and see galaxies billions of light years away.
Yes.
Yet it can't see something that's in our own galaxy.
That's the theory that people say, well, Nibiru doesn't exist, because if you can see billions and billions of stars in a galaxy, why can't you see a planet?
In our own solar system.
Well, think about it.
That's just my question.
You're looking at a galaxy. What are you seeing?
Light.
Light. Billions of stars. You're not pinpointing an individual star out that far, are you?
No.
No. That's the response from the Nibiru, the pro-Nibiru group, is you can't pinpoint something that far away. Andrew, you had it on there. We were talking about it. How far away technically is Nibiru at its farthest?
200 astronomical units from the sun, also known as 60 billion miles away.
60 billion with a B.
A B.
That's a lot of space. So Hubble can see beyond that, but it can't pick out individual objects that far. Now, is Nibiru always 60 billion miles away? No.
No, because it's oval.
It's an oval orbit.
That's just I guess.
Yeah, it's not a guess, but it's an average.
Yeah.
It's an average. So it may be farther, and at times it's closer. Nibiru is supposedly, when it comes into our solar system, it is supposedly having an orbit between Mars and the Earth.
By the way, for those who aren't counting,
yes.
My 5 minutes of Andrew special is almost up.
Yes, so in a couple seconds here, you need to shut up.
No.
So now here's where it gets interesting, and here's where a lot of conjecture comes into play, because you have two sides to every story. According to sources, in 1983, NASA identified a planet with a very strange orbit around our sun. Well, they referred to it as Planet X. The Washington Post and other news agencies wrote about it in 1983, and according to the Washington Post, they stated a heavenly body, possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter and possibly so close to the Earth that it would be part of this solar system, has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the U.S. Infrared Astronomical Satellite. Now, according to Chief IRAS scientist Jerry Neugbauer, he states that all I can tell you is that I don't know what it is. Now, there is a gentleman by the name of R. Harrington. He wrote an interesting article in the Astronomical Journal in 1988. He suggested that a planet 3 or 4 times the size of Earth does exist, and it has a position of 3 to 4 times farther from the sun than Pluto. According to mathematical models that were presented, it is believed that Planet X, or Nibiru, has an extreme elliptical orbit of 30 degrees. Now, it is believed that the planet originated from the Orion constellation, passing near our planet and coming towards it from the sun. After making its way by Earth, it heads toward outer space and disappears.
Okay, so if you guys look up in the night sky, you notice that planets look like stars, and yeah, they all just look like stars. But Pluto and I'm wondering if Pluto and this planet X, does the sun's light reflect off of them, or is it too far away?
Well, and I was just going to get into something here. Now, according to ancient texts, Nibiru is wrapped in a cloud of dust, iron oxide red, making the rivers and lakes acquire a reddish color. Would that deflect some of the sunlight off of it?
No.
I mean, theoretically, Mars is red and dusty, and you can see that with the naked eye. But then again, Mars is a heck of a lot closer most of the time. Now, according to U.S. News World Report, Planet X, or Nibiru, does actually exist. In their article, it says that it is shrouded from the sun's light. It is mysteriously tugging at the orbits of Uranus, I'm not going to call it what most people do, Uranus, and Neptune. They say it's an unseen force that astronomers suspect may be Planet X. Now, at the time, it was a 10th resident of the Earth's celestial neighborhood. Now, at the time that this article was written, which it doesn't give a time when the article was written, that's great journalism, but last year, the infrared astronomical satellite, circling in a polar orbit 560 miles from Earth, detected heat from an object about 50 billion miles away that is now subject to intense speculation.
Couldn't they sense the magnetic field of this object?
Nibiru is believed to be a magnetic planet, so okay. Yes. They should have. I'd say they should have as a non-scientist. If you can detect heat 50 billion miles away, I would think you can detect a magnetic field.
Yeah.
According to an article published in Newsweek on July 13th, 1987, NASA disclosed that there may be a 10th planet orbiting our sun. Now, according to NASA research scientist John Anderson, Planet X may actually be out there, but nowhere near our planets.
There are actually 13 instead of 9 or 8.
In our solar system.
Yes, including dwarf planets. Don't forget those dwarf planets.
Okay, this guy's a planet lover. And I'm assuming you're considering Pluto as that planet.
No, he's a dwarf planet.
Okay, is he in that 12 or 13 planets?
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, wouldn't it be an extra planet? Because is not our moon bigger than Pluto?
Actually, fun fact, Pluto's moon is actually bigger than Pluto. So I don't...
What's Pluto's moon?
Charon. Or I don't know how it pronounces.
Chara?
C-H-A-R-O-N.
Oh, Charon.
Charon, yeah.
Charon. Okay. So why is Pluto a planet and not its moon a planet?
Well, it was... the person who discovered it wanted it to be a planet, so I guess they named it after him and called it, and yeah.
The Disney character?
No. Somebody, I think in 1700s he discovered.
It was 1938.
Yeah.
Percival Lowell. Are you kidding me? I know P-L, this and
you P-L is Pluto's symbol.
Percival Lowell. Yes, that's the guy's name. I cannot believe I know more about this stuff than this guy.
No, you don't.
You are... Drop
I didn't
down
know, I didn't
on
know
the
his
space
name.
Food
I didn't
chain.
Know. I didn't know his name.
Good Lord!
His initials were PL though.
Percival Lowell, 1938. Bam.
Finally
anyway,
get something right.
On October 23rd, 1996, an article from the AP calls "New Rebel Planet Found Outside Our Solar System," and it stated that a new planet that breaks all the rules about how and where planets form has been identified in an orbit of a twin star about 70 light years from Earth.
Ooh, is it Proxima Centauri?
In a constellation commonly known as the Northern Cross. I don't know, where is the Northern Cross? Is it anywhere near Proxima Centauri?
No.
Okay.
Okay, that
the
makes
new planet
sense.
Has a roller coaster-like orbit that swoops down close to its central star and then swings out into frigid fringes, following a strange egg-shaped orbit that is unlike any other known planet. Now, here Well, let's back up a little bit. Andrew, do you know the mysterious lore behind Nibiru, the conspiracy theorist's theory on Nibiru?
I have a bunch of theories that I wrote.
Okay, talk to me about them.
Well, according to Constantin, I don't know how to pronounce his name or his last name, but
we'll just call him Constantinople.
And Mike Brown, the planet theory is more probable because current surveys suggest there isn't enough mass in the regions. In their research, they note that the disk or material that birthed the planets may have started out with enough mass, but interactions with the giant planets would have quickly tossed it out of the solar system.
No, hold on.
I don't get it either.
I got a question for you. I don't know if you can answer it, if any of the listeners can answer it. All of these gas planets.
Yes.
At one point, were they on their way to becoming a star?
No, because they don't. They had to have a greater.
They have to have enough mass.
Yes. So, like, if you have Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, it's still combined. It still wouldn't make enough mass to create
all
a star.
All four of them need to be combined, and it still wouldn't have enough mass to turn into a star.
Yes.
Now, this is a little bit off the subject, but I heard years ago that Jupiter is a hair away from becoming a star.
That is
when we
definitely
had the
wrong.
Galileo spacecraft orbiting Jupiter. They were worried, some were worried, that when it went into the atmosphere and basically destroyed itself, it had a nuclear reactor in it. And that would cause a nuclear reaction big enough to turn it into a star. There are some that say
it's too small.
Well, there's some that say that we should have been a binary system with Jupiter being our other star.
My theory is we are a binary star system with Proxima.
With who?
Proxima Centauri.
How far is Proxima Centauri?
4.243 light years away.
Is that the closest star to us?
Yes.
How many miles in a light year?
5.879 times 10 to the 12th power. That's how many miles it is away.
So a lot. We'll just say there's a lot of miles in there because I can't even fathom that. Now, you're talking about a binary system.
Yep.
There are theories that Nibiru is not a planet. That is, it is a brown dwarf making our system a binary system.
Wait a minute. A brown dwarf star?
Brown dwarf star with its own planetary system. There are rumors that it's a brown dwarf. They call it Nemesis.
Oh, okay. Yes. I know what you're talking about
yes,
now.
Yes, you know what you're... Yeah, okay. Now all of a sudden it's plausible. Anyway, there are rumors that it's a brown dwarf system with... It's a star with its own planetary system orbiting it.
But why would there be clouds of dust orbiting the star or surrounding the star?
Well, there are, again, let me finish here. We have a brown dwarf called Nemesis. Nibiru is a planet that orbits that star. We are a binary system. Most of the stars in the universe.
Yeah, three-fourths.
75% are binary systems. So the odd, we're an anomaly here. If we look at our star and say it's just a single star system. If you look at the prospect that we have a brown dwarf with a very elliptical orbit surrounding or orbiting our sun, it turns it into a binary system. We fall right into the norm. There is the Kuiper Belt. You talked about it earlier in the show.
Yeah.
There are rumors and there's theories that there was a planet between Mars and Jupiter. A rocky planet.
Yeah, there is a dwarf planet. It's called Cirrus. Inside of the asteroid belt.
Inside of the asteroid belt. They say that that is the remnants of another planet. That when this brown dwarf came around and was orbiting its star, its companion star, one of the moons of Nibiru came into contact with that planet, which would be the fifth planet at this time.
Yeah.
Mars is the fourth.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'd be the fifth planet. A moon of Nibiru came in contact with that fifth planet and destroyed it, therefore creating the Kuiper Belt. You believe that if you believe that there is a brown dwarf star orbiting.
There's a lot of asteroids in the Kuiper Belt. How big is this moon?
We don't know.
Because if that created the Kuiper Belt, that'd be very surprising.
Well, look at it this way. You had a planet plus one of the moons of Nibiru.
Yep. It would have to be a very big planet to create this really big belt.
You have a planet. Imagine if a planet or a moon or whatever came in contact with the Earth. You think it would leave a pretty big asteroid field?
Somewhat.
Same thing, same premise. The ancients. Almost every ancient civilization said they were visited by gods from the sky. The Sumerians, the Dogons, they all claim, the Mayans, the Aztecs, you name it, every ancient civilization claims that they were visited from gods from the sky. You ever heard of the Anunnaki?
Somewhat. Somewhat. I've heard of it.
The Anunnaki are supposedly people or an alien race whose home planet is Nibiru. Every 3,600 years or so, they come by and they say, hey, we're just passing by, but you might want to try that. That works really well. What you're doing there, it doesn't work. Try this.
What?
They. I'm trying to be funny. They're trying to move us forward on the evolutionary or the technological ladder. There are rumors that the Anunnaki, when planet Nibiru was going through its orbit and came by planet Earth, they came to planet Earth, saw planet Earth was great. They needed gold for their atmosphere. The Earth was full of gold. They created the human race as a slave race to mine this planet's gold for them. After their time was done, they left and they figured out they'll just die off. Well, we thrived and we have grown into a beautiful planet that whose inhabitants want to kill each other all the time.
Unfortunately.
So every 3,600 years, Nibiru comes by. They say Nibiru is on its way back. Now, you've hit it before. If a planet is that big, how are we not seeing it?
I don't know.
There's no logical explanation. I did a show a while back on the original Paranormal Patriot stating that I think planet Nibiru exists. Planet Nibiru is coming by us, and when it comes by us, it changes our gravitational or our magnetic field, and it will destroy or wreak havoc with the planet. As the years have gone by, I'm doubting the existence of Nibiru to a point. I know there's another planet out there that has a very strange orbit because if NASA is saying that it's out there, it's out there. It's definitely out there. So there is a planet. NASA has stated there is a 10th, 9th, however you want to look at it, planet out there that has a very elliptical orbit. It is a very large planet. Look, Uranus and Neptune are pretty big planets. To have something affect their gravity or their orbit. In other words, they're getting pulled by something's gravitational field.
Is this including their moons?
Everything.
Oh, wow.
Is being pulled by something. They couldn't figure out what it is, and then they realized, holy cow, there's a planet out there. It's way out there.
Wait, so they say, NASA says every day the moon is moving farther away from us for
It moves about 3 to 4 inches a year.
Yeah, so not a day, sorry. Is this because of the planet or nothing to do with it?
It's just the way physics works. Every day we move away from the sun. It's just as we are orbiting around the sun, naturally we want to pull away from it. You know, think about it. We are orbiting thousands and thousands and thousands of miles an hour. You're going to want to pull away from that. The effects of the gravity are what of the sun's gravity are what's keeping us in orbit. But we move away a little bit every year. Same with the moon. Thousands and millions and billions of years from now, the moon's going to be gone from this planet because it's just going to fly out of our orbit and go somewhere. We don't know. Same thing with the, well, I can't even say that because I think before we fly out of the sun's orbit, the sun is going to supernova.
It's not going to supernova. It's not big enough.
What? It's going it's to gonna, expand.
It's
going to
expand three times the size and become a dwarf.
Same thing.
No, a supernova is a giant explosion.
And you're expanding three times. What's the difference?
The difference is if you have a supernova, you can either create one, a neutron star, and if you have a big enough supernova, you can create a black hole. This expands. It doesn't blow up.
Okay, so what happens when it expands and then shrinks?
It shrinks.
Okay, then what?
Then it becomes a dwarf.
A brown dwarf?
Yeah, about like a white dwarf, a brown dwarf.
So Cosmic Dreamer here, who thinks he owns the show this week.
I don't own the show.
I'll give it to him. He's talking a language I can't even understand. For those of you who are into space, and I thought I was, I don't know the difference between a brown and white rainbow dwarf. I just know who Rainbow Bright is. Nibiru, what do you think? Does Nibiru exist?
I think it does.
Does it exist as the destroyer of Earth?
No.
Do you think it has any effect on Earth?
Yes, it could. Well, it depends on its field of gravity.
Do you think Nibiru's on its way here?
It's elliptical, so it's going to come here some point.
Do you think we should have seen it by now?
Yeah, definitely.
So have you gone on YouTube and looked at these purported videos of Nibiru?
No.
I'll tell you right now.
All I've been doing is write notes.
I got to tell you right now, the videos are pretty hoaxy. They're not a blatant hoax. Listen, for those of you who are taking pictures of the sun, you're going to get a reflection. It doesn't mean it's a planet. I'm sorry. 99.9% of the time, you have somebody screaming into the camera, look at Nibiru, Nibiru. All it is a reflection on the lens. It happens. It's a reflective surface. It's going to happen. In my opinion now, it's been probably about 3 years since I've done the Nibiru show. I think if Nibiru was here, coming here, we would have seen it. And I've talked to some conspiracy theorists out there and some people who really, really believe in Nibiru. And they say, well, the government's hiding it. The government's not telling us the truth.
Could be.
If that's the case, why are all these look, some of these amateur astronomers have 8-foot-long telescopes. I mean, these things can see the surface of Mars, essentially. I mean, these things are amazing. Where are all these amateur astronomers coming in and saying, hey, I've seen this planet. It is out there. You don't see it. It's not out there. I would be more prone to believe that this star system of ours, this planetary system, is a binary system.
It has to be. I hope it is.
Well, it's either, like Andrew says, Proxima Centauri, although I believe that's a huge distance between stars.
There's a pretty big distance between stars. So.
Understood. Or we have a brown dwarf with a very elliptical orbit. And if that's the case, who's to say that that star doesn't have its own planetary system orbiting it? You know, you touched on the Kuiper Belt. The Kuiper Belt is just a ring of asteroids orbiting the sun between Mars and Jupiter.
It is believed that the Kuiper Belt is leftover asteroids that weren't formed during the solar system's birth.
So why haven't they formed into a planet? Everything else that's sitting there floating around has formed into a planet.
What about the asteroid belt?
How do you know it wasn't a planet? I'm more inclined to think that that at one point was a planet because it fits where a planet should be.
Cirrus?
Cirrus or seriously?
Cirrus.
What about Cirrus?
Dwarf planet. It could be Cirrus, but...
What's Cirrus?
A dwarf planet. I just said a dwarf planet.
Oh, the asteroid. Okay.
Yeah.
The dwarf planet, I think, is part of the original planet.
Yeah, that's what I was, saying.
Yes. I believe there was a planet between Mars and Jupiter. Something collided with that planet and destroyed it. So you have the remnants of whatever collided with it and the planet. What collided with it?
It could be another planet. It could be giant asteroid, but that's not really a possibility.
It would have to be a gargantuan asteroid to destroy a whole planet to the point that it creates an asteroid.
It would have to be a planet bigger than...
Did you know that every 26 million years, almost verbatim, every 26 million years, there's an extinction-level event?
Yeah.
What do you think can cause an extinction-level event like clockwork at every 26 million years?
What? Collision?
Collision? If that were the case, our planet wouldn't be here, correct?
Yeah.
If every 26 million years our planet gets destroyed, our planet wouldn't be here.
That's weird, though.
Again, the prevailing theory is there is a planet that swoops into our solar system and wreaks havoc. And it sends, the gravitational pull of this planet sends these asteroids out of the Kuiper Belt and comes on a direct course to our planet, therefore destroying it. Again, this is a man-made theory. Who knows how true it is? But the theory on the dinosaur extinction is one asteroid destroyed the entire planet.
That can't be right.
Again, it's all theory. Could it be right? Could it be that this asteroid landed in the Yucatan Peninsula in the Gulf of Mexico and kicked up enough dirt and debris into the atmosphere that it clouded up the Earth for thousands of years and destroyed everything? But if that's the case, why are there...
Pollution.
I don't think the dinosaurs had many factories going on.
I'm not talking about that. Like, you know how we have a lot of pollution, like smoke going into the atmosphere?
Yep.
How haven't we died from the smoke in the atmosphere?
Well, good point. I don't know. Again, what I was trying to get at is cockroaches. There are many, many, many things that have been around since, for millions of years. How did they survive?
Crocodiles, alligators.
How did they survive? You don't know. Is the asteroid theory true?
I don't believe it.
What do you think killed the dinosaurs? Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't know. Again, there's so many unanswered questions here that we may never get to the bottom of it unless you look outside one day and look up in the sky and you're like, oh my God, there's Nibiru right there. Do I think that's going to happen? No. I don't think that's going to happen at all. But there are people out there that do. And when I say I don't think Nibiru is going to show itself, I do believe that there's another planet out there, at least another planet in our solar system.
Or a star. Could be anything.
It could be a brown dwarf. It could be a planet. But again, if it's a brown dwarf, it's going to have its own planetary system. So it's not just going to be one planet.
It might not. I mean...
Most stars have a planetary system around it, correct?
But yes, some stars do not.
Some stars... Well, okay. You want to play the devil's advocate? Let's do it. You want to say 75% of the stars in the galaxy are a binary system.
Yeah.
So that makes ours have to be a binary system, correct?
No.
Okay. It's just like these newscasters. Oh, this is the biggest hurricane in 10 years in over two decades. Big frickin' deal. Okay, so there's been bigger hurricanes. They make it sound like because of global warming, this is the worst thing that's ever happened.
No.
But 20 years ago, there was a bigger hurricane. Or 40 years ago, there was a bigger hurricane. How do they explain that? again, we're using man-made theories here. We can only describe things as we understand them.
As we see them, yeah.
Again, the parallel universes. We don't understand them, so therefore it's taboo. We can't talk about it because we don't understand it. I'm a big believer in parallel universes.
So am I.
I've got a theory that all of these civilizations in the past that were very, very much more technologically advanced than us, why? How do we know they weren't into a parallel universe?
We don't know.
We don't. There's so much we don't know. There's so much we don't know about space. We know that black holes supposedly exist. We've seen them.
Yeah.
Okay, we've seen a black hole. Do we know anything about them?
Well, no, because we don't. In the center of a black hole, scientists refer to that as the singularity, meaning unknown.
But yet we want to theorize what happens when something is sucked into a black hole.
Yeah, because we want to know. We want to know.
Okay, but we can only use our knowledge.
Yeah, going back to we only know so much about space. We've only discovered 1% of the entire universe, and the universe is still expanding. So we got quite a while to go.
Well, we'll never know the extent of the universe, but that's a good point. We only know 1% of what's around us. There is 99% left over. Who knows what is out there?
That 1% could be alien life forms.
It could be. I'm sure it is. It's preposterous to think that we're the only in this whole universe. Look at everything you know about the universe, everything we've seen about space. That's 1% of the universe. And you think we're the only intelligent beings out there?
I hope not.
Yeah, if we're the if we're the apex of intelligence, we're screwed.
Yeah, we are screwed because we're
trying
to kill
each other. This universe is just ridiculous. I don't know how we got on this subject, Andrew. I don't know how we veered off from Nibiru, but
going back to killing each other. Well, I read an article about. Maybe some humans decide to leave planet Earth. I don't know how, but they didn't explain it either. And
that sounds like a great article.
Yeah, I know. It was stupid. Because it just got even dumber. And aliens found them and blah, blah, blah. And they created... it was stupid. I'm done, by the way.
That was a great article. I can't wait to read that article. It looks like you really had a lot of input into it, really took a lot out of it. So
no, I didn't like it.
Well, thanks for bringing that up in the show then.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anyway.
Back to Nibiru.
You believe Nibiru exists?
Yes.
I'm skeptical.
Of course. You're always skeptical.
I am probably one of the least skeptical people out there.
I disagree.
Ask the listeners of this show.
Here's the daily question. Is my dad skeptical?
The week's question is, do you believe Nibiru exists?
No, the daily question is my dad
sketchy? Skeptical.
Skeptical.
Listen, before you got onto this show, I was called every name in the book. I was a fearmonger. I was, you know... somebody who always looked at the worst in every situation, a conspiracy theorist. I am not a skeptical, but I look at things in a different light. I try to look at every different angle. Look, 3 years ago, I was convinced Nibiru existed. Now, it's been 3 years. I don't see any sign of it.
There's no new facts, by the way.
There's no new facts, exactly. In 3 years, this thing should. If it was causing havoc on this planet like everybody said it was, it should have shown itself by now. Now, some people say, well, it's behind the moon or behind the sun, Tom, so you're blinded by the sun's light.
No.
I don't buy it. Somebody, an amateur astronomer, is going to have seen this planet and just said, whoa, here it is. We're all going to die. So... There is our brief history and our back and forth on Nibiru. Let me know what you exist. This week's poll question is not going to be whether or not I'm a skeptic. It's going to be, do you believe planet Nibiru exists? And then there's going to be a yes or a no. And on the no, it's going to be no, there is no such thing, or no, it is a brown dwarf system. In other words, planet Nibiru is part of a binary system that we, in our planetary system, are a part of. So,
fun fact, Mercury has double sunrises. Don't know why I put that in there, but I just wanted to pass the time away.
Well, we're actually 51 minutes into the show, so we don't need to pass any more time.
Isn't the longest one an hour and 19 minutes?
Yeah, we're pushing that, so let's get moving. All right, we will be right back. We will be talking about This Week in the News with the Paranormal Patriot. You are listening to Tom.
And you're listening to the Cosmic Dreamer.
And you're listening to Andrew.
No,
we will be right back. Attention all fans of the paranormal and paranormal groups in the Michigan area. Michigan's Ghost Coast Paranormal Convention will be June 29th and 30th, 2018 at the Grand Haven Community Center, 421 Columbus in Grand Haven, Michigan. Do you want to show off your team? How about networking with other teams? Whether your specialty is in the field of ghosts and spirits, Bigfoot, UFOs, or even cryptozoology, the people at Michigan's Ghost Coast Paranormal Convention want you here to network with other groups and show your investigation and evidence to the public. If your group is involved in the paranormal and you want your group's voice heard, then you need to be here. Network with other Michigan teams. Show off some of your investigations and evidence, or simply come out to check out our new equipment, techniques, or just come out to listen to some of our speakers. Booth spaces are limited and first come, first serve. Check for convention updates at graspp.org or email them at debunkers@gsapp.info for more details. Pricing will be available soon. So remember, for those of you who are in the paranormal field, June 29th and 30th in Grand Haven, Michigan, Michigan's Ghost Coast Paranormal Convention. You are now listening to This Week in the News with the Paranormal Patriot. All righty, This Week in the News with the Paranormal Patriot.
And the Cosmic Dreamer. I think I'm going to stick to that. Guys, you need to make a question on your Facebook page. Is the Cosmic Dreamer a good name, or should I change it?
Do you really want to know the answer to that question? That's the question.
Yes, I do want to know the answer.
You do want to know? Okay. There'll be two questions this week. Are we going to keep the Cosmic Dreamer as Andrew's name? Or should we tell him to stick it?
Don't tell me.
I know my answer to that question.
Of course
you
do.
Let's see what my listeners say. All right, This Week in the News. Let's get right to it. So before we get into The Week in the News, I want to give you a little bit of a secret of the show. There are some things that I don't tell Andrew prior to the show. I want to get his reaction at the time. I want to get his actual reaction. And there's a reason for that. And that held true on the last show. Now, the last show during the week in review with the Paranormal Patriot, I was talking about the gun control and the security guard and the Pennsylvania school district that had the plan to stop.
That was last week?
That was last week.
I had thought it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, whatever. It was a plan to stop a gunman by using rocks. And as I said, what they were proposing. Andrew's response obviously struck a chord with a lot of you, because I've got a lot of emails stating that they loved his response because it was so natural and it was one of the funniest things they've heard. So I want to play you the response that Andrew had. Now, I'm going to start off. The school district has proposed, and then it gets into what they're proposing, and then you're going to hear Andrew's response. So here is what everybody seemed to have loved. County has proposed that his students be armed with rocks.
Oh, yeah.
To defend themselves.
So, right there. Oh, yeah.
Was the response. The response that he hadn't heard what they proposed, but he loved it. And apparently the listeners of this show absolutely loved that response because it was all natural. So I try to keep Andrew, well, for lack of a better word, out of the loop for a reason, because I want to get a genuine response. Now, with that being said, I have got an audio clip. It was sent to me as a video clip, but it's an audio clip that you're going to hear. It came to me from Richard Knox. Richard Knox is a longtime listener of the show, and he's an investigator in the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Organization. He sent me this link, and he says, listen to this. So this is going to be the first time Andrew has heard this. Now, I want to paint a picture for you. This was taken December, I think it was 17th, 2017. So about 3 months, just over 3 months ago. You're in Canada. It looks like you are in a pretty desolate area. There's snow, maybe a house across the street, but all around are pretty much woods. This guy is recording something that I have no idea what it is. I want you, my listeners, to try and tell me. Richard sent this to me, and I told him, I said, this thing is terrifying. Whatever this is, you can hear it in the distance. Andrew, this is the first time you're hearing this, so I want you to decide and let me know right off the top of your head what you think this is. So this is video from Canada from December of 17. Listen.
What that is? It's scary.
I'm ready.
I don't know what that could be.
I have two things that were on the top of my head.
Okay.
A, trumpets in the sky.
It's in the woods, though. You can tell that's in the woods.
But you're hearing it from the sky.
I don't think you're hearing it from the sky. I think you're hearing it from the woods.
Okay. B, it's either a coyote or a wolf howling. That's what I hear. Yeah.
If that coyote or wolf is howling,
he's dying.
There's something definitely wrong. Now, you may be onto something there. I went through after Richard sent me this, and I just did a general search of cries of the wild, and just to try and see what I could determine this possibly could be.
The call of the wild.
Call of the wild, cries of the wild, whatever.
It's a book.
I can't pinpoint what this thing is. Now, maybe it is something in the last moments of its life, but I've never heard anything like it. Imagine you are in Canada in a desolate area and you're hearing this in the woods. I don't think it's in the sky. I really don't.
It could be anywhere.
It sounds like it's in the woods. It's coming from the distance, and it sounds like something's screaming. Something's trying to make its voice heard.
Did they explore that? Did they get
Would
out?
You? Would yeah. you go in the woods?
Yeah.
You're nuts. There's no way in God's green earth I would go after that thing.
I would.
Yeah, well, that's why you are whatever.
You said we're explorers. Explore.
We're not on a death wish.
It could be something very happy.
That sounded like a happy noise, didn't it? It sounded like it was having a party. What it was Bigfoot in a rave, everybody. It was dancing the night away. Come on. And again, I don't know what it was. I've never heard, per se, a Bigfoot, but if I was going to hear a Bigfoot, that's what I think it'd sound like.
To be honest, I thought a Bigfoot would kind of sound like Chewbacca. Not joking, either.
I wish I could do the Chewbacca noise right now. I really do. Man. All right. So let me know. You've heard that noise. If you've heard that type of noise and you know what it is, let me know. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. All right, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, Andrew.
Oh, God.
When I ask you these questions are posed to my listeners, too. I want you to answer yes or no on these questions.
Is this like a SAT?
More important.
Darn.
So, we have been inundated with electrical current. Waves, microwaves, EMF, 3G, 4G, 5G waves. There is almost no doubt now that it is starting to affect us on a personal and cellular level. I'm going to ask everybody, and since you're sitting in front of me, I'll ask you and I want your answer. There are a couple of signs that you are being inundated with waves, electromagnetic waves, that is detrimental to you and your body. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions. First one, do you have an intense craving for sugar? I know the answer to this one, so you better make it right. Andrew,
no.
You do.
Dang it.
You absolutely have an intense craving for sugar.
Not all the time.
There is scientific proof that these electromagnetic waves can alter the way your brain functions and cause you to crave these sugars. The next one. Now, I personally can say that I unfortunately do not have this problem, but do any of my listeners, do you, Andrew, do you have a loss of appetite?
Do I have a loss? No.
No, you eat pretty well. You're pretty skinny, but you're your dad's kid, so you better take advantage of that while you can, because you're going to wake up one day bald and fat.
No, I'm not.
Again, electromagnetic waves can alter your brain to make your body feel full, so you may not have an appetite. Now, this one I can most certainly relate to. Insomnia. Do you know what insomnia is?
Yeah, when you go crazy, when you don't have enough sleep.
Yes. Lack of sleep coupled with headaches, pressure, and pain in the head. Literally, I get maybe 2 hours of sleep a night if I'm lucky. People have reported both feeling insomnia and unusual headaches at the same time. That is so me.
Nope, not me.
Oh, it's so me. If you have a smart meter in your home, everybody knows what those are. Those are we all had the old dial on the side of our house that consumers of power used to come by and read. The smart meters are different. If you have one of those, ask yourself, have I been having headaches? Am I not sleeping? Because the smart meter may be radiating your house. And once you remove that, you may have these symptoms disappear. Anybody hearing strange sounds, metallic or mechanical in noise? We just did a show on that. Are these electromagnetic currents that we are just proliferating through the atmosphere? Are these causing
the
strange trumpet noises in the sky? Heightened sensitivity. There are days. Now, I suffer from fibromyalgia.
Don't know what
so
that is.
So, you don't want to know what it is, and it's all right. There are days where it hurts to touch my skin, and I attribute it to a flare-up of fibromyalgia. But could it be that the electromagnetic field radiation is causing that? If you have a heightened sensitivity, you may be being inundated and sensitive to electromagnetic frequencies. The next one, intensified sense of smell. Now, I can honestly say when I have an intensified sense of smell, it's usually when I walk into the bathroom after Andrew has left it.
That's not true.
Oh, but it is.
No, it's not.
You don't smell like roses, dude. Sorry. But, again, these electromagnetic frequencies may alter or may trigger parts of the brain that intensify your sense of smell. Some of us may have an intensified awareness of waves being produced by energy. Can you feel the Wi-Fi waves? Can you feel the electromagnetic waves? I can honestly say sometimes I can. I can feel these waves coming off the phone. I can feel the waves coming off that router that powers every internet-capable device in our home.
Ever
and
heard
it drives
of
me insane. What's that?
Ever heard of neutrinos? It's a tiny, it's smaller than atoms. It can pass through the human body, and people say you can feel it, but...
Okay, how are they produced?
Stars, when they explode, the neutrinos leave the core. Back to space.
Yeah, we're back to space. We're done with space.
No,
I don't think I'm
never
feeling
done
a
with
supernova.
Space. We're never done with space. Once, after, so before a supernova happens, it expands. And those neutrinos get to, they have to go through 7 layers or more of the sun or star, and then it has to break free of the surface or the corona. And the neutrinos, it's everywhere, basically. It's just like matter, everywhere.
So why don't we feel them all the time?
Too small.
Why do I feel them sometimes, then?
That's air, Dad. You're feeling air. Look at.
Trust me, it's not air. Some people... We're just going to disregard that. I'm not denying neutrinos exist.
They don't.
But you just
I
said
mean,
they
I mean,
do.
They do. They do.
Good
Sorry.
Lord,
Sorry.
We're going to go back to the beginning of the show
no.
here.
No.
Some people report that they are aware of the Wi-Fi waves coming from their cell phone. They can feel them.
Does this affect the body?
It affects the brain.
Okay.
That's the whole point of this segment is... The electromagnetic frequencies, the Wi-Fi frequencies, the microwaves that we use are affecting us. Not in a good way. Andrew, do you feel out of focus out of time?
Yeah, my head's up in space.
Out of it every now and then?
Yeah, it's always in space.
Some people feel that they're out of focus visually. It takes a lot of concentration and focus
to
remain on task.
Yeah.
They say that's because of the electromagnetic frequencies. Whether or not you are feeling all of these, and I get this. I really, truly get this. A lot of this can be explained by natural causes other than electromagnetic frequencies. However, we have to admit and we have to know that we are being inundated with electromagnetic frequencies wherever we go now. These are radio, microwaves. They can alter our bodies. They can alter the way we feel. It's around us every day. You know, you've got a phone. It's got 4G or 5G reception. Those are electric currents. We're an electric motor. Our body is.
We're
we have electricity going through our body. It's going to interact with that and... When you have electricity, multiple sources interacting with each other, it affects it, be it in a good way or a bad way. I don't see myself turning into Batman, so it's got to be in a bad way. I don't know, but
speaking of electricity, do we get shocked because of all the iron particles in our body?
They call that static electricity.
So how does what's in us that transfers that electricity throughout our body?
Yep.
What? You don't know?
I have no idea. I'm assuming the water. We're 80, 70% water?
Yeah.
Water is a great transducer of electricity. What's the word I'm looking for? A great receptor of electricity. I mean, is it the water? I mean, look at our brains. Our brains right now, we're talking, it's firing, firing, firing. Millions and millions of neurons are firing at the same time. So I can do this, and I can point at you, and I can tell you to shut up, and I can tell you you're not running this show.
I probably will in my late 20s. Oh, wait. No, I'll be in space, so I won't have to.
No, you can do the podcast from Pace.
Pace? Yeah, it's called Pace.
You can do the podcast from space. Coming to you live from Mars, here's Cosmic Dreamer.
It will work.
Be long gone by then. All right. Let's move on.
I don't want to move on.
All right, you've heard it ad nauseum on this show, the Chicago Mothman. Well, there has been a photograph of the supposed Chicago Mothman. Now, I looked at it, and I have my theories on it, but prior to this broadcast, I showed it to Andrew. And they said, look at this and tell me what you think it is. Andrew, you're looking at it right now, correct?
Yeah, it looks like a bird, but its tail does not look...
Let me see it real quick.
Yeah, here. You see
there you
tail?
Go. You know what that is?
That's a bat.
That's a great herring.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. There, I'm going to post it on our Paranormal Patriot Facebook page, the photos of
that looks like a bird or something like that.
Bird. It, trust me, it's a bird. It's not a Mothman. It's not a Batman. The Chicago Batman sightings are winding down, it looks like. There's been very, very, very little activity in Chicago. I don't know what to make of it, but I just wanted to let you know that somebody has sent a photo in. And it took me half a second to say, yep, that's a great herring. Probably a great blue herring, I believe it is. I will post the picture of the Mothman, Batman, whatever you want to call it, and a picture of a great blue herring.
And a picture of me.
The Cosmic Dreamer. All right. That is going to be the show today, thank God. This has been... I don't think we accomplished anything today. No. I've just sat here and argued with you trying to take control back of my show. And thank you to Andy. Thank you to Richard, Katrina, everybody that has been...
Thank you for NASA.
Everybody that has been so active in this show.
Yep.
Again, we've had great results. Let's keep it going. Again, when you see this show, all I ask of you, please hit the share button. Andy from Texas, you're on Facebook now, buddy. Hit the share button. Richard Knox, this is a personal request to you. You and I need to get together. We need to talk about Bigfoot. You and I have been doing this on the show for a good 3 years now, and I have yet to get you on the show. This is my personal invitation. If you are ready to come on this show, I will be more than happy to talk to you. Just let me know.
If it's personal, why'd you just say it to everyone? I am taking over.
If you are willing to come on the show, Richard, let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net.
And contact me at the Cosmic Dreamer. I don't have an email yet.
Let me know if the Cosmic Dreamer should keep his name.
I will be sending a
Facebook poll on that.
Let me know if
Richard,
I
promise you, I will disregard. I will personally ban the Cosmic Dreamer from our interview process on the next show if you want to do it.
I'll just change my name then. And I'll be called the Doohickey.
That, I think, just ended the show. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week. Please share the show. Please disregard the Cosmic Dreamer. He's been obviously dreaming way too much.
You told me to get more active in this show.
I'm going to tell you to cut it back. All right. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. This is Tom.
And this is the Cosmic Dreamer.
And Andrew. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot,
and we
will be back next week.
With.
Thanks for listening, and as always, please share the show.
Thank you. Bye.